20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Thursday, June 3rd, 2021. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's a Thursday show. We are down one person. I want to start by wishing a happy early birthday to my little brother. He turns 28, I think, if memory and math serves in my head, on Friday. So excellent job at making another trip around the sun, Adam. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that, because I'm sure mom, since you are her favorite, will do everything else for you in that time frame. I'm your host this evening. I am Jacob Westendorf, and I am joined not by the great Maggie Loney. She is facing some homeowner difficulties. Yeah. Owning a home sucks, kids. Don't do it if you can help it. So please. I am joined by Jimmy Christensen. And while the cat is away, my friend, the mice shall play. So we are here. Jimmy, how are you feeling?
Pretty good. It's funny you mentioned your brother. It's my sister's birthday today, but I don't care about her enough to do a thing for her, but it is her birthday. So fun fact of the day.
Well, happy birthday to Jimmy's sister. He's a bad brother for not caring about you, I guess. So I have for him.
We have a deal. Our birthdays are close. So we just have a deal where I don't acknowledge her. She doesn't acknowledge mine. We both save money. It's a great deal.
That's a good deal if that's the case. So kudos and congratulations. I rescind what I just said. Guys, it's June and this is still a 12-free zone. But if you want an update on that, the quarterback has not been traded. So there's that, and that's really it on that front. The Packers had an OTA practice that was open to the media today. Matt LaFleur spoke, said, quote, "We'll see if he shows up on Tuesday." Jimmy, I guess I know I just said it was a 12-free zone, but I lied. Do you think he's showing up on Tuesday?
No. No, I don't think so. I think it was Matt Schneidman put out. He's like, if he was willing to lose $500,000 for the voluntary OTAs, I'm sure he'll skip out on the 93,000 for next week's mandatory minicamp. Obviously, money is not the issue here, so I don't think he's coming.
I don't either, and I maybe that's a big deal. Maybe it's not. I mean, we'll see. I'm of the belief that the Packers will find him, but he'll show up to training camp, and then they'll be like, "Oh yeah, forget about that. Never mind. We don't worry about it." So we'll see. Obviously, if he comes back, that puts an end to this saga. If he doesn't, then it just means it's going to extend likely into July when training camp hits. And it remains to be seen when exactly training camp starts. We have yet to get a set official date on the beginning of training camp, which is very annoying as somebody who is out of state and wants to travel and come up this year with them having fans and such in the stands for camp this year. And I don't know. I mean, maybe a couple of places that create content want to do some stuff from training camp. I don't know. That sounds like it could be a fun thing, but that remains to be seen how that's going to go. Let's talk a little bit though, Jimmy, we've got this. First of all, I said initially when we were getting into our topic that I was trying to make some weird comparison between like players on the Packers and like the Brooklyn Nets. Everybody always wants the Packers to go all in, and quite clearly the Brooklyn Nets are all in with James Harden and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on their team. So I wanted to make some comparison that way, but I got nothing. I couldn't get any further than that in my head. But I did want to ask, Bucks versus Nets, with you being the diehard NBA fan that you are, how do you see that series playing out?
I think it's going to go six or seven games. I don't think it's going to be a clean sweep by either team. The Bucks, there's no one that can stop Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. You can't. But the Bucks have three great defenders that match up pretty well against them to kind of slow them down with Giannis, Middleton, and Jrue Holiday. Oh man, the last two games we split. I'm a homer, I'm gonna go Bucks in seven. But it's gonna be tough. Winner of this wins the finals.
I'm with you in that I think it goes six or seven games. I'm with you in thinking that I will say this. If the series is short, it's because Brooklyn won it.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think the Nets in four or five is the only way I could see it being a four or five game series. I don't see it playing out that way. I do think the Nets are better, though. And I think the problem that the Bucks are going to run into is playoff basketball. For those of you that have paid attention to that, so often becomes, okay, get a bucket. And the Nets have three Hall of Fame isolation scorers capable of just getting buckets. And the Bucks don't really have, I mean, Giannis is great. Giannis is maybe the best player in the entire sport. I wouldn't go that far just yet, but he is very, very good. Obviously, he's a two-time MVP. That's not really his forte. Middleton, okay. He's a good player. He's better than what the media makes him out to be, but he's not Durant. He's not Irving. And you know what? This is a lot of times these series really do just come down to either one, who has the best player, or in the case of like a few years ago when the Cavs played the Warriors in the finals with Durant, it was like the Cavs had the best player because they had LeBron.
Yeah.
But the Warriors had the next like four.
So exactly.
In this case, it's like the Bucks have the best player. They have Giannis.
Yeah.
But the Nets probably have at least the next three. And then after that, you could start. It's probably Middleton and so on and so forth. But that's my thought. I'm going to say Nets in six. And I am rooting. I'm rooting for the Bucks. I no question on that, especially after the Dallas Mavericks likely get eliminated here shortly by the Clippers. They had a 2-0 series lead, and then the Clippers, I think, figured out they were the better team. But
are
that's
they
all
down,
the basketball.
Sorry, no, they down 3-2?
They're playing a game. It's 2-2. They lost both games at home, so they're playing game five tonight. But neither game at home was particularly competitive. Dallas lost both games by double digits. So we'll see. They played better in L.A. than they did in Dallas, obviously. But I think there's a reason for that. And I think, like I said, I think the Clippers are awake now. And now that they are, they're just the better team. And that is what it is. That is all of the – oh, go ahead.
No. This isn't basketball anymore. It's a transition from this. So, like, we've seen in the NBA playoffs – fans are going absolutely bat, you know what, crazy. Stupid. Do you think that's going to happen in the NFL now? Like drunk people, NFL games for the first time in over a year with full capacity. Do you think it's going to be close to some of the stuff we're seeing now? Obviously, they're not close enough to spit on players, but throwing stuff or fighting.
You know, it's interesting. I think that there's always been some semblance of that, right?
Yeah.
Some idiot runs on the field at least once a year. You know, that kind of stuff. But I think the NFL, you know, one of the problems the NBA has is the way that these stadiums are built is you're so close to the players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, when it comes to saying mean stuff to me, you know, within reason, obviously, like so-and-so you suck. I think that's free game. I think something like that's free game because that's just fandom. Obviously, once you get into slurs and name calling and different stuff like that, that's a little different. Obviously should be off limits. Throwing stuff at players should be off limits. And I honestly know this is terrible of me to say this, but I really do wish that one time a player would just like go Ron Artest on one of these
and
just beat the piss out of the fan that threw the stuff at him. Because I think what happens, I remember, it's kind of funny you bring this up, I remember when I was in college, Marcus Smart was playing for Oklahoma State at the time, and he shoved a fan in the stands. And I wrote a story being like, Smart's going to get all the blame, but I feel like fans in the stands feel like they have this invincibility.
Yep.
And you don't. You know, Kevin Durant, I think, said it really well the other night, of the game's bigger than you, so shut the hell up and enjoy the game. Because the last thing I want, you know, we all waited this long. There hasn't been a fan in the stands really since last March. We've all waited this long to get fans in the stands. Don't be the idiot who ruined. Now, granted, I also know that an owner is not going to say there's going to be no fans in the stands because of something like this, but don't be the one who ruins it and makes it so the experience has to be less for somebody else who's coming in. So, you know, I think the NFL will be okay. You know, from what I've seen as far as security teams and stuff like that, they're much more beefed up around the NFL. And then you add in the fact that in order to get, honestly, somebody getting on the field really is almost impressive because there's so many people they have to get by to do that. And they're so far away from the field. I mean, you figure those stands are, you know, 12 feet up instead of being right on top of the opposing team or something like that. So it's weird. Alcohol does some weird things to people. Be better. That's my biggest bit of advice on that. So that's our transition from basketball into football. And now let's talk about OTAs a little bit, some interesting stuff. And I think the most interesting thing, well, let me rephrase that, because there's the biggest storyline and then there's what's the most interesting thing. The biggest storyline is that David Bakhtiari looks great by all accounts. He looks like somebody who has,
yeah,
you could, somebody basically put it, I think it was Andy Herman, said you couldn't even tell he was injured if you didn't know ahead of time, which is great news. Yeah. He's the Packers' star left tackle. They made a huge investment in him, obviously. And really, he makes that offensive line, like, they have the best left side of the offensive line in football. If Bakhtiari is healthy with Elton Jenkins over there, and with them likely breaking in a rookie center, I think something like that is definitely going to matter. So, Jimmy, with that in mind, let's call your shot a little bit. Do you think Bakhtiari is ready week one against the New Orleans Saints?
Oh, one of the things that I like too about the video is he was doing the same exact rehab workouts that Josiah DeGuara was doing, who injured his leg at least 2 months before him. And I know Matt LaFleur said he's a little ahead of schedule, but if he's on track with DeGuara, then I don't know. The Packers also are pretty conservative with coming back from injuries. We saw that with Davante Adams last year. I hope he's ready for week one, but I could see them just still waiting till week maybe three or four just to kind of make sure he's good to go. So my hope is week one, obviously, but if I had to pick right now, I'd say they'd probably rest him a little bit longer.
Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
I think if he's ready, he'll play. I think it goes one of two ways. He either starts the season on the PUP list, mm-hmm. or he's ready to go week one. But I don't think you get to a scenario where he's ready. He's like a, you know, one of the game day inactives and they start that way. I'd be interested to see how they do that. But I do think Bakhtiari, somebody, everything you've heard since he got injured has been encouraging. Like, there hasn't been any signs of setbacks. Obviously he's played he's been at practice doing rehab work. Mm-hmm. Brian Gutekunst sounded optimistic about him. All that stuff matters. And with a aging quarterback or a brand new quarterback, whichever way this shakes out, you need to protect him. And the easiest way to do that is maybe have the best left tackle in football available to you. But I know the Packers do not have any weapons. So calling David Bakhtiari the best left tackle in football is wrong of me to do. So I do apologize when I say that. The most interesting thing that came out of OTAs today was Robert Tonyan. And mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur saying he basically called Tonyan and asked him to come to voluntary camp, which is odd considering there are some notable absences, to say the very least.
Yeah,
Tonyan's been in camp, and they said they wanted to feature him in the offense this year, and that's not something they did last year. And I've been relatively vocal in terms of saying I'm not sure if Tonyan is just a product of the scheme or if he's actually a really, really good player. And I think that's something we're going to be able to potentially find out this year. But you know, Jimmy, last year, Tonyan was the team's second leading receiver. Behind, obviously, what's that guy's name? Davante Adams. He's pretty good. But Tonyan was number two. He obviously had 11 touchdowns. Was very, very good last season. But if they want to feature him in this offense, what do you think that can look like as they go through the beginning portion of the season and him becoming a more, you know, a bigger factor in their passing game?
Yeah, I could. Obviously, our big hope is that he turns out like Travis Kelce 2.0, right? Like, he's the first target on some of these plays, second target on some of them with Davante Adams. But I just love to see him open up the middle of the field too for Rodgers or Love, whichever one is the quarterback, and just kind of being that security blanket, because we saw that a little bit last year. For him to be the second leading receiver and having 11 touchdowns, obviously there's that trust there. And if he can be another person that the quarterback relies on those third downs, or just checking down to him because they know he's a reliable catch for at least a few yards, like, that's going to be huge for this offense. I don't know. It's tough to think that he's going to have the same season as last year because it was such a surprise and he broke out like that, and teams have all that tape now. But if they're going to make him a focus point, he wasn't last year and he had 11 touchdowns, I'm really intrigued to see what they do with him this year. What do you think that looks like?
I'm curious to see, because, you know, I've talked about my level of excitement if Jay Sternberger can make that leap and what that two tight end set can look like, just because, with all due respect to Big Dog, and Mercedes Lewis is awesome, and even Josiah DeGuara and Dominique Daphne, those guys are just different players from what Tonyan and Sternberger could potentially do down the field. As far as featuring him, you know, I think that if you look at Kansas City as a model, they have, as far as their weapons, they have Tyreek Hill, who they feature plenty, and he's their guy down the field, and he's just maybe the fastest player in the history of the sport. He's an absolute freak of nature. And then you have Travis Kelce, who anytime it's third down, like, I mean, it's never this simple, obviously, but if it's third down, I have him circled. I'm like, okay, where's 87? That's who I'm trying to find. And do the Packers do something like that where it's obvious that he's their second primary target, if you will, looking into their passing game? Because they didn't really do that last year. You know, it was kind of a week-to-week thing. Devontae got his targets, and then obviously Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon, or, you know, whoever it was out of the backfield, got some of theirs as well. And then it was kind of game to game. Some weeks it was MBS, some weeks it was Alan Lazard, some weeks it was Tonyan. Mercedes Lewis had a couple nice games. I mean, they really did just kind of use them the way I love the comparison that Paul Breddle, friend of the show, he actually contributor to the show, often makes. And that's Craig Counsell always says the Brewers have outgetters. They don't have starters and they don't have relievers. They have outgetters. Well, the Packers have pass catchers and whatever that looks like. You know, there are games where they can feature Aaron Jones and he's the primary pass catcher. There are games where they always feature Devontae. There's no question about that. But having Tonyan in there as a second, you know, reliable target and a better understanding of what that might look like, I think the Packers are a pretty good shape on what that can be. And if they can do enough to get Tonyan involved and kind of make him that second set of really reliable hands, then the Packers are in really good shape. And I think that their offense has a chance to, oddly enough, be even better this year than it was last year, as strange as that sounds, because they were number one in the NFL. Speaking of pass catchers, none of them have showed up yet, save for Amari Rodgers. And I want to stress again, this is a voluntary practice. One of my favorite quotes when it comes to this is Edgerrin James is, "What do voluntary mean, man?" Or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but what do you think voluntary means? Okay. But with the absence of the quarterback, it is at least notable to think that it's at least possible that maybe they're doing something in solidarity with the quarterback. Now, I personally don't think that's what they're doing. I think that most of those guys don't have a lot of incentive to be there. By incentive, read that as money. Devontae Adams does, but that's something that he can make up very quickly with a contract extension. And there's just not a lot of incentive for those guys to be there. And with the stuff coming from the Players Association this year as to, you know, where are the Packers going to, and not just the Packers, but the players around the league, where are they working out? Where should they be going? Now, me personally, I think they're getting some bad advice by not going to camp because you're protected there. We saw what happened to Juwan James, and you can argue that Denver was practicing in bad faith by cutting him and not paying him, and I would certainly side with you on that argument. But from a legal standpoint, you are not protected if you are not practicing at the team's facility. And you know, the Packers and the players union and everything, they need to, Rodgers always said the negotiating table, you know, at the negotiating table, we need to fight for these rights. And this is one of those things he was talking about. And that's why I don't think that's what it is, but it is noteworthy. And for the people that are on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these places saying, stop stirring the pot, stop making things up, this isn't news, blah, blah, blah. Well, first and foremost, none of this is made up. I think it's very obvious that the quarterback has a problem with the organization, and it may not be resolved. I think that's fair. And the other thing is the receivers aren't there. That is newsworthy.
Yeah.
Now you can say that it's just like I said, I don't think it's because of the quarterback, but maybe it is. And that's why it's newsworthy. So I said all that to ask, what are your thoughts on that situation as we get out of, you know, the OTAs and stuff and towards closer to training camp?
Yeah. Thinking about them, like Devontae makes sense. He's not there. He wants an extension. And maybe this is one of his strategies to kind of get that ball moving. But with MVS and Lazard, like they've been in the system already 2 years. They, like you said, they don't have much incentive, AKA money to make them go there. It is voluntary. Funchess is the one that surprised me a little bit just because he wasn't with the team last year. People thought he wasn't going to make the team this year because of it. So that one was a little bit of a surprise, but again, he is a veteran and a lot of the veterans are saying they really shouldn't be having OTAs this year. And they kind of wanted to opt into the wait until closer to training camp like last year to bring everyone back. So maybe that's just him saying these OTAs are kind of outdated the way we're doing it. I don't want to read too much into it, but kind of like you, I don't think it has anything to do. I don't think they're all doing it to be with Rodgers, but at the end of the day, if they were, I also wouldn't be surprised. It's just my opinion that they're not. I just think the money wasn't good enough for them to go.
Yeah, and again, it's voluntary, and I know that this is a little strange to Packers fans simply because the Packers typically have very good participation in their offseason. Andrew Brand has talked about this a ton, how he used to incentivize guys to come to voluntary workouts, and this was how. It's just a bit of a different world at this point, and obviously the noteworthy absence is the quarterback because, again, you can say that this is stirring the pot, but I really don't care. He has attended voluntary offseason workouts every single other year of his career.
Yeah.
That's noteworthy, whether you want to say that it is or not. And that's why I tend to believe when we talked about earlier, I don't think he'll be at mandatory minicamp. Mm-hmm. We'll just kind of see what happens after that. One last storyline from the first day or the open day, I should say, of OTAs is AJ Dillon's quads. No, I'm kidding. that was a storyline, but we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Eric Stokes. I made a joke along the lines and some jerk on Twitter said I wasn't being sarcastic, but I was and said that I said Stokes hasn't made a play yet in camp. And this was based on me scrolling through Twitter and having seen nothing. Obviously I'm not at camp. I wish I was, that would be awesome, but I'm not at camp and there's nothing that I can see with my own two eyes. And then of course, after I say something like that, you have Bill Huber, the great Bill Huber, formerly of Pack Report, now Sports Illustrated, saying Eric Stokes is having a day at camp. And jokes aside, that's exciting.
Yes.
Because the Packers, you know, their biggest weakness coming into the offseason, and I know we all basically forgot about it on draft day because, you know, the storyline with the quarterback hit, and then we kind of got wide receiver goo-goo eyes again because they haven't drafted a first-round receiver, heaven forbid. But their biggest weakness coming into the offseason was the cornerback position opposite of Jaire Alexander. Yep. And granted, is Eric Stokes going to be incredible his rookie season? Probably not. Most rookies suck. And that's especially true at the cornerback position. Mm-hmm. That said, if he's having a good first day in camp, the Packers aren't just going to start Kevin King to say they started Kevin King. You know, if there's anything Matt LaFleur has proven in his time as the head coach, it's the best guy is going to get on the field at some point. Elgton Jenkins is a great example of that. Somebody that was behind an NFL starter when he was healthy, Lane Taylor. And the Packers were rotating those guys in and out. And eventually Taylor got hurt, but Jenkins would have overtaken that role regardless of what had happened there. So Stokes is a first round pick. Some people really love him. You know, if you want to read a good example of that, Mark Eckel had a really good story over at Packer Report. I think I know somebody that might be talking to him in the near future, but I'll save that for a different time frame. And it's just interesting to see how the Packers might view that cornerback spot because Kevin King, it really is a controversial player. You know, the Packers clearly like him because they wouldn't have brought him back if they didn't. Mm-hmm. And especially if they didn't like him, it'd be very easy to not bring him back after his last game, right? That makes sense. Clearly they do. They brought him back in, and now he's slated to be the starter opposite of Jair Alexander. Now, how long that takes to change, who knows? But it does get a little interesting just because you talk about that nickel star position, not really something that's conducive to Kevin King or Eric Stokes's strengths. If Jair Alexander wants to play there, that's where something like that could get a little bit interesting. But I understand, obviously, the value of keeping him on the outside. Jimmy, what are your thoughts on Stokes coming out of this first camp that we see, or first day of OTAs that we've seen in a while, and how that could lead into what he could be for this team right away in 2021?
Yeah, it's great to hear that they said he was just blanketing every receiver, which is great. But like we just mentioned 3 minutes ago, our top five receivers aren't there. So it's great to see he's covering the backups and some backups to the backups, but I don't want to get too excited until it is training camp and he's going up against Devontae or MVS or Alan Lazard. That being said, Kevin King did get burned by an undrafted free agent this year or this today as well. And Blake Bortles had that big connection with him. So there is something to say, QB1. There is something to say that, like, they still are going up against NFL talent, wide receivers. So it's great to see that he's doing that and doing it really well on the first day of OTAs this week. But I still don't see him starting week one for the Packers. Hopefully down the road, he'll earn that starting job. But like you said, if Jair moves to the inside to play some of that star role, it'd be great to see him kind of be on the outside and see what he can do early on in the season. But even when Jair came, he wasn't starting right away either. You mentioned Darnell Savage was really the first day one starter in the secondary that they've had.
Remains the only day one rookie to be a day one starter under this regime.
Yeah, so especially with the cornerback position is so tough to transition from college to the NFL. So I think eventually he'll get his chance, but I think it will be I think we still have some time until then.
I do too. And I think that I'm just excited. You know, the one thing I really love seeing in camp is, you know, the team stuff obviously is fun because it looks like real football for a little while, yeah. But it's the one-on-ones. And that's when you knew Jair Alexander was good. And that's when you knew Za'Darius Smith was going to be awesome, is when he's just lighting dudes up in one-on-ones and finding that, you know, that mano a mano kind of competition. So yes, I do want to see, you know, Eric Stokes lined up across from Devontae Adams, that iron sharpens iron kind of thing. And you're going to take your lumps, but, you know, as we saw, Jalen Ramsey, who is probably the best cornerback in football, yeah, Struggled with Devontae Adams last year too. So yeah, Devontae is going to win those reps more often than not. But if you learn from Adams, you have a good opportunity to beat most other receivers in the league if you can figure out, yep, some of that stuff. So Stokes is obviously going to be the big ticket item that everybody's got their eye on. Once camps, along with Amari Rodgers, obviously, who just looks fantastic in that number 8 jersey. If you guys haven't seen his Twitter profile photo,
for real,
grade A, he just looks clean. One of the best things the NFL did this year was allow the relaxation on. I know Tom Brady doesn't particularly care for it, but Tom Brady not liking it automatically makes it a little bit cooler, I think, is how that works too. So we're out of time for this episode. Thank you guys for sticking with us. I know you're disappointed Maggie wasn't here. She'll be back with us next week as we get through the later portion of June on into almost July and damn near training camp. So you can follow the podcast on Twitter. It's at Packaday Podcast. Go ahead and give it a like, rate, subscription. Tell everybody that you love Jacob and Jimmy. I like reading our names. I don't read reviews, but neither do I. If you tell me that you put one with me in it, I will read it. And I promise you that. And I'll personally find you out and respond to you and say thank you and be on your way. You can find the show there, like I mentioned, at Packaday Podcast. You can find Jimmy. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_C08. Like Jacob said, if you do a review, as long as you give it 5 stars, you can literally comment Jimmy sucks. Totally fine with that. Just make sure it's the 5 stars before that. Anything else that I do, I'll have on Twitter. I should have some nice interviews coming up this off season, been making some phone calls. So trying to capitalize on some of the fun ones I had last off season. So there should be some things coming out shortly. So follow me there and you'll find all my stuff.
And you can find me. I'm at Jacob Westendorf on Twitter. I'm the owner of Game On Wisconsin. You can find them on Twitter at Game On W. I like, subscribe to their YouTube page over there, youtube.com, search Game On Wisconsin. And I got some fun stuff in the works as well. I want you guys to keep your eyes out for the Game On meetup, which we should have here this upcoming season, COVID and safety permitting. So keep your thoughts, prayers, actions, all that stuff going very well. And we can be able to say hi to some of you guys that have, we can finally put a face to a podcast voice or a Twitter avatar or something like that. I look forward to being able to do something like that. Until then, not a whole lot going on between now and the end of the month. So enjoy the Bucks, enjoy the Brewers, enjoy whatever sport that it is you like. Sit back and relax and buckle up, because I think July is going to be a very interesting month for our Green Bay Packers. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.